The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I feel like this is Kanye West's version. Is that right? It's Ye's version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town right here on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Happy to bring up on the VIP line a person currently experiencing some mental disorder because he wants to become the chair of the state GOP party. He's no stranger to anyone, and that's Casper Stockham. Sir, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Man, baby, it's cold outside.
It is cold outside. I don't think you can say baby anymore because that's ageist. Baby is an age. It's a person experiencing extreme youth or something like that. It can't be.
Something like that, yeah.
Casper, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Why do you want to be a part of this thing?
Well, what I want to do is I want to save our state and save our party and get us back to sanity again. And I believe I have a plan to do it. I think your audience knows me a little bit, but, you know, for the past 10 years, George, I've been serving the party as a candidate, as a campaign manager, as a campaign worker, as a precinct worker, as an ex-con board member, as a conservative advocate in the community, as a candidate training organization, and I have the battle scars to prove all that. And I believe I've observed this thing for 10 years, and I keep seeing opportunities that we are not taking advantage of. And because of that, I believe is why we're in the situation we're in right now.
What is that situation?
we have a PMI problem. PMI stands for purpose. You know, we lack a focused purpose. Our message is off, our image is off. And because of that, we are losing across the board statewide. So we have to enhance our PMI, and that's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight, obviously, but it's something we have to be focused on in order to improve our situation.
Well, listen, you know, we talked with Christy Burton Brown at the top of the last hour to have a conversation. And I get it. I understand. I imagine there's probably some more conversation we could have with her, really trying to pull back the layers here on the decision that was made. But if I'm Christy in that situation, given how much poison has been dumped on top of her for a whole bunch of different things from the loudest parts of the party, I'm not sure why anybody wants to sign up for that. I mean, the paycheck is not nothing, but it ain't enough to make up for the kind of heartache you'd go through, especially someone who feels like she brings more to the table. But from your standpoint, Casper, there might be a little bit of a honeymoon if you pull this thing off, a little honeymoon period. But given the nature of our party, we have got people, some of the loudest people in the party, and you know them. You saw them there behind the boot barn right there by the GOP, who if you deviate in any way from what they believe to be the only acceptable path for a conservative, you are instantly establishment, you are instantly part of the problem, and then all of a sudden out come traitor, treachery, all this other stuff. How do you deal with that?
Well, I deal with it the same way I've been dealing with it for 10 years, but I've been called a lot worse personally. You know, but people want to be heard. Okay, they want to feel like they have a voice. They want to feel like people are paying attention to them. And I think I have the temperament to, you know, for that to happen. So I every time I listen to Republicans on social media or even at a luncheon or breakfast, everybody's pointing fingers at the other side, you know. So the quote-unquote establishment is pointing fingers at the grassroots are pointing fingers at the establishment, and we need everybody to be a part of this experience, right? We can't win elections without the grassroots, and we can't win elections without the quote-unquote establishment. So we have to figure out a way how to come together, otherwise we don't win anyway. So I'm just going to try to appeal to those common sense folks, and I believe you're in that category, that say, look, I got it. Okay, we have to stop this name calling and stuff like that. Let's figure out common ground and let's move forward so we can start winning elections.
Now, when you talk about these challenges and having to do this, I get the getting heard part. I really do. I'm telling you from my vantage point, Casper, this isn't about being heard anymore. This is about being lockstep with that farthest right portion of the party. And and I know you weren't part of this, and we talked about this on the radio, but the language that was used in the back of that truck by even members of the legislature, elected commissioners, and other party leaders and former party leaders, that's not a, hey, I'm not being heard. That's a, you are evil, you are the enemy. We heard warlike terms. I just don't know how you begin to bridge that gap. And frankly, given some of the things like Anil said and all that, how does anybody who's not part of Anil's inside clique right now ever sit down with him again and say, we can work together based on the things that you said? How do you attract those people?
Well, I have, I would admit, I would readily admit that this last cycle has been more adversarial than it's been in the past. But this is, you know, it's just growing to this point. I can speak to the Anils of the world. I believe I can speak to the establishment as well and say, look, there are some common things that we have. You know, we have a common enemy, right? We have to get back to Reagan's 11th commandment. And if you're 80% on my side, then you're an advocate, not an adversary. So I just have to keep drilling
that
home.
That part got set on fire in the back of that truck. And how do you deal with deal with the folks that want to label as rhinos or establishment? Or
I deal with them the same way I deal with people who call me all kinds of names as well. I can work with anyone, even someone who's called me a personal name that we can't mention on the radio. Yeah. I can work with that person if we are focused on the goal. And the goal is to get us back to being viable again, get us back to winning elections again, and get us back to saving our state again. And right now, we are not there. At the end of my first term, there are three things that will definitely be happening. One, we will have a higher voter registration. It'll be going up instead of down.
How come? How are you going to do that?
I'm going to do it by focusing on voter registration and focusing on getting more youth involved with our party and getting more minority participation in our party. Those three things will drive up voter registration. I have a program I call Operation OUS, and OUS stands for Outreach, Unite, Support, and Train. We do those four key things, and we start to increase our youth involvement, minority outreach involvement, and those would get the voter registrations. And we're not doing that right now, by the way.
What do you do to sell GOP registration to that next generation? I'm using my own kids as an example. I mean, they've mm-hmm. grown up at a period of time where there is a certain toxicity that has been associated with the Republican Party, more so in Colorado than probably anywhere else, right? And fair or unfair, that's just, how do we win them back? What do you do about that?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And I've listened to many of your interviews with your daughter, so I know what you're talking about. So I am actively reaching out to young Republican groups right now, and we are going to launch a program I'm calling Colorado Freedom Corps. And that Freedom Corps is going to be manned by the youth, and they're going to be going out and doing good works in the community. But they're going to be wearing the GOP banner at the same time. So young individuals like your daughter and others, they are not impressed with the Republican Party because they don't see us doing anything other than complaining or trying to block stuff from happening. We don't have enough PMI. Our PMI is not high enough, right? We have to have more engagement. We have to have more of a purpose to our party than just winning elections, which is important. But we win elections by helping more people. We help more people, we're going to start winning more elections.
What do you do for the folks that say we need to, and these folks were in that same truck that you took to the back of too to talk from the microphone. The people that said, we need to purge the party of rhinos. First off, yeah. What's your definition of a rhino? And two, do we need to purge the party of them?
At this point, I'm confused as to what a rhino is, George, because I was called a rhino just for helping Heidi Ganahl in her governor's
That's
race.
Ridiculous.
I was called a rhino.
Ridiculous.
So I don't even know what a rhino is anymore at this point. But I have heard both sides again say we need to purge. We need to purge the grassroots. We got to purge the establishment. And I'm saying if we get rid of any numbers, we continue to lose. We cannot afford to purge anyone that is 80% on our side. So I'm going to say the same message to the grassroots that I say to the establishment. You guys have to get over this situation you have right now with fighting each other. We've got to come together in a way that is unprecedented to where we are focused on the 80%. And we can argue and fuss and fight about the 20%, but we got to focus on the 80 so we can start winning elections. George, if Kamala Harris can call
Joe Biden,
if she can call him a racist on the national TV debate stage, and he may serve VP, are you telling me we're not smart enough to come together on 80% of what we agree on?
Speaking of smart enough and some purity issues, can a person, should a person be the next chair of the GOP who does not believe the election in 2020 was stolen?
It really doesn't matter. And the reason why I say that is because we should always be willing to question government and question operations that happen. Now, whether they are the gold standard or not, or whatever, we should be able to question everything, right? Reagan always talked about trust but verify. So if I can't verify it, I don't trust it. I want to be able to verify it. I want to have transparency in that process so that the people that are really focused on that, I want them to have some comfort that our system is functioning properly. So whether the election was stolen or not, dude, I have no idea. But here's what I do know. I do know that there's a lot of non-transparency happening in that process, and I want to make sure it's transparent.
I don't think anybody disagrees with scrutiny. I think at the end of the day, though, we're going to continue to be painted with that extremist label of an election denier and all that other stuff till we can figure out a way to get past buying into that. And I didn't see it this last election cycle. We saw that some of the comments that were made during the primary process, which was an effort to get through the GOP, came back to haunt people. It haunted Heidi. It haunted Eric Odlin to an extent. I mean, it was the kind of thing that ended up being an issue. Now, were those the issues that cost us the election? I don't think so, but they certainly didn't help win over voters.
If we can't get over people calling us different names and stuff, if we can't get over that, then, you know, it's over anyway, because they're not going to stop calling us names. You know, when I was growing up, my mom, yeah, if I came home and told my mother that somebody called me a name, she said, well, are you that? I was like, no. Okay, then what you worried about? You know, get on with your life. Now, something more fruitful.
Here's just small proof while we're talking. Some text coming in, and people have some questions and stuff. And someone said, the election was stolen, you rhino. I just presume that's... I had enough money, and I'm too darn... I would have gotten them to run for their money. Other people that are like... Casper's good at making acronyms. I don't even know what that means. And then someone was talking about our past topic... someone wants to call in and ask questions about temperament and about the fighting and all the other stuff that's taking place inside the party.
No question that we're divided, George, but the solution is not to just wallow in that. The solution is to work towards bringing that together.
Well, I agree. No one's going to say we shouldn't bring folks together. It's the doing it that matters and how it gets done. And listening to those folks in the back of the truck, and if it was just a handful of 100 activists who came together to scream and yell, I'd be less concerned. But it was people like, oh, I don't know, the chair of one of the largest party county parties. It was an elected commissioner. It was a guy who was a representative elect going to the legislature. I mean, these were not insignificant people. These were people who are active in the party, and they're going to serve. And so when they say the things that they say, Casper, I worry that we're not there yet. I also worry that there's a faction of the party, some of whom are listeners here, who firmly believe that if we had just made more sweet love to Donald Trump in 2020 and 2022, that folks, the Coloradans, would have voted for our candidates. I don't see any evidence of that anywhere in the state of Colorado.
Well, I'm telling you, I've been to luncheons and breakfasts and everything else that people are speaking at, and I've heard inflammatory comments about people on both sides. So it's not just people in the back of a pickup truck. It's people at breakfasts and lunches that are saying similar things about the other side. So somebody has a stand in the middle, maybe with a bulletproof vest on or whatever, and say, look, you guys stop shooting at each other. We have more pressing problems. We have, we got this new egg dilemma that's going on. We got plastic bags, they're trying to take our plastic bags away, whatever, right? They're interfering with our children's education. There are more pressing issues that we can come together on. It takes a leader to step in and say, look, what's your thoughts on education? I bet you that both sides, by the way, of those two fighting factions, I bet you both sides would agree on education. So we should come together on that. We should find those things, 80% of what we believe in, we agree on. We can come together on those things. And that's what I'll be focused on as a chair. And I'm going to make sure that we are definitely bringing in youth and bigger back into our party and also reaching out to the minority community as well.
Casper, and when's the election, by the way? I'm sure we'll have you on between now and then, but when's the big day? Do we know yet?
So it's in March. No, they haven't set a date yet, and that'd be up to Christy and the board to figure that out. But it's going to be sometime in March. I think the bylaws state it has to be sometime in March. It has to be like the end of February to the 1st of April, sometime in there.
Well, man, if I was going to give you 30 seconds to sum it up for folks who may end up being in that meeting, because it's not all Republicans get a vote on this, right? It's a pretty select group of people from across the state. What do you tell them? Why you? Why not someone else?
Yeah, there's going to be about 500 plus voting members of the Central Committee who vote on the next leader of the Colorado GOP. We're in a critical time, and there, we have to stop this infighting. The Democrats are laughing at us right now because they have mastered the art of getting over it. they could just get over all kinds of names called back and forth for the common goal, which is winning. So we have to do more outreach. We have to unite. We have to do more supporting of candidates and counties. We have to do more training, and we have to come together. And I'm asking all Republicans right now, I'm doing this, and I'm asking all Republicans to do the same thing. Start donating $10 a month to the local county party organization, $10 a month, and $5 a month to the new GOP. If we start doing that, we will have enough revenue, money, to do all the outreach and other things we need to do to start.
Casper Stockham, he is officially a candidate for the state party chairmanship there for the GOP. Man, I know there'll be other candidates. They'll want to come on. We'll have a conversation with them too. And then maybe we'll figure out a way to get you guys to do some sort of thing. I don't know if it's a debate or something, but we'll try to get you on here. I know you're not shy of that. So thank you for calling in.
I would love that.
And
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Can I get my website out?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm sorry. Yeah. I should remember that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my website is Casper4, Colorado.com. That's Casper4, Colorado.com. You will see a lot of the information I just shared on there, and I have a 17-page business plan that you can get access to as well. You just have to reach out to us through email.
Merry Christmas, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, George.
Thanks. That's Casper Stockham. He's going to be a candidate for state GOP chair here in March. They haven't picked the date yet. We'll get to know about that, and we'll let you know about it when it happens. Before I cut away for a break, I want to tell you about something you may be contemplating right now. Again, I follow this stuff every day when it shows up in my newsfeed, and that's what's going on in the real estate market. And it's interesting. The national numbers show that sales decreased, but then so did home values a little bit. This may be that perfect time to try to sell now while the dollars are high enough for you to get into that newly reduced price home of your dreams. You may have to do it. You may be moving. I don't know why. Maybe it's a business decision. Maybe it's a family decision. But if you're going to try to navigate these waters, do yourself a favor. Call Gay Ribble and Power Home Team Keller Williams Realty. Now, it's easy to find the website. That's gayhasthebuyers.com, G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. No risk when you work with these folks because they've been doing this forever. Gay's been in the business for decades, grew up in this area. She knows how to get it done. She has seen all the market changes before. This one's really not that different at all. Ask her about her 100% asking price guarantee program. And isn't that the big difference maker? Someone who says, I promise to do X, and oh, by the way, I'll commit to it. And if I can't get it done, we'll figure out a way to pay for the house ourselves. We'll come to an agreed upon cash amount, or if it's not sold within the same time period we agreed to. That's phenomenal. That's the kind of incentive you want and the kind of commitment that you want. It's just fantastic. I like Gay as a person, and that makes it so much easier to talk about her as the professional as well. She's very, very committed to families and adoption, and it's touched her life. It's touched mine, my immediate family. I think if you're going to try to do something right now with this real estate market, you can throw a dart at a dartboard across a dark, dark room and see if you hit the bullseye, or you can just stand right in front of the dartboard and push that dart right through the bullseye. And that's what you do when you call 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. Beat the system by getting the person that knows the system the best. That's Gay Ribble. Give her a call, 833-301-SOLD, or check her out at gayhasthebuyers.com. Be back with your calls, and we do have some, 303-696-1971, and your text right after this is George Brockman of The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockman back with you here on The George Show. No, Billy, I do not know this one. What is this?
You don't know this one?
I don't. Was this 80s?
This is 80s. This is Do They Know It's Christmas? You know, the Band-Aid thing?
Wait a minute. I know that, but this doesn't sound like it.
No, this is it.
Hold on. Listen. I need the refrain. I knew that. Do they know it's Christmas? I remember that. Yeah.
So that's what this is. Now, here's the thing, though. It's all these superstars singing, but it was the brainchild of Bob Geldof, who is a little-known lead singer of the Boomtown Rats. And the guy that put together this song and actually wrote it very quickly is a Scottish singer-songwriter that doesn't get a lot of attention because of his skill. You know, he's very talented but doesn't get a lot of attention. He's more of a new wave artist, artist by the name of Midge Ure. And some people may know him as the lead singer of Ultravox. But it's Bob Geldof and Midge Ure that put all of this together. These minor league singers and songwriters.
It was huge.
Put together this superstar event. Yeah.
And then that gave birth to Farm Aid.
Yep, exactly.
And then there was AIDS. I think that's different. There was AIDS.
Yeah, exactly.
Some kind of AIDS. There was a whole bunch of AIDS for a while. Lemonade. Marmalade.
That's the story of this one. I just always think it's a superstar song, but it was put together by two guys who wouldn't be considered superstars, and I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you are, Billy, you are a wealth of information, the kind of stuff that you would have to spend minutes on Google looking this stuff up, and you just have it there, readily available. Listen, our phone number, 303-696-1971, my thanks to Casper Stockham, who is going to run for GOP chair. He won't be alone, my guess is, and the people have texted in some other names that they've heard. I've heard those names as well. To be clear, Christy Burton Brown is not going to run for re-election, and I'm not running for that spot either. Now, listen, you increase the pay, and I don't want to sound super greedy here. I'm not going over the top. $400,000 a year. If you could pay me $400,000 a year, probably still wouldn't do it. But nonetheless, it would be something that would entice more people into the race. Now, listen, we're going to get to the phone lines, 303-696-1971. Phone lines are jammed. But can I just read to you from this Stanford jacked up list of things that they want to change here? Get this. Peanut Gallery. Peanut Gallery. Do you know why Peanut Gallery is disfavored? Because the term refers to the cheapest and worst section in theaters where many black people sat during the vaudeville era. Did anybody out there, including Billy, know that? I should have asked Casper. Did you know that, Casper? I use the term Peanut Gallery all the time, even in the courtroom, like the place behind the bar, you know, back where regular folks sit, the Peanut Gallery. I had no clue, no idea. And my guess is 99% of all African-Americans had no idea that's what that meant either. I don't know that. That's just my sense of it. I've never heard any pushback. But here's another one. Here's a gut punch. The term American. Oh, yeah. Can't use American. You should consider using U.S. citizen. The term often refers to people from the United States only, and thereby insinuating that the U.S. is the most important country in the Americas, which is actually made up of 42 countries. I want to use the F word here, but I can't do it. You can't even use the term victim. It's people who are experiencing, apparently, rape. How about this one? Before we get to Jennifer, Gary, and Brian, let me just listen to this. Brown bag. That's right. You can't use brown bag. You have to use the term lunch and learn or tech talk. Here's why. Brown bag is historically associated with the, quote, brown paper bag test that certain black sororities and fraternities use to judge skin color. Those whose skin color was darker than the brown bag were not allowed to join. That is the dumbest, most inaccurate thing I've ever heard.
What do I do if my lunch is in a brown bag?
That's it, buddy.
When I go to the store and I buy the bags for the kids, they're brown.
That's
so
right.
What am I supposed to do?
That's right.
How do I turn and I say, hey, Katie, can you hand me the... what am I supposed to say?
The bag currently experiencing brownness or something. But that's how I've always associated. It's a brown bag talk, which tells me it's a bring your own lunch thing. And most people bring them in those brown paper bags like I had growing up. To reach back into some kind of who's coming up with this garbage, the brown paper bag test that certain black sororities and fraternities. What?
Soon we're going to have to refer to the gym that we go to, you know, in the schools as the James, because gym is just too informal. And it's some sort of a mocking and of people that are formerly named James. So instead, we're probably going to have to go to the James.
I don't understand this. You can't even use, wait for this one, folks. You can't even use the term people of color. It's too generically used. You have to use BIPOC. Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, BIPOC.
I'm sorry, but to be fair, the first time that I see any of my friends of, okay, I can't say that word, and I call them they're going to punch me. And I will not begrudge them because it sounds like an insult. Saying, you're a, that sounds like an insult.
Billy, you can't even be white anymore. You are a person experiencing an absence of color. You know what
well,
I mean?
Like, one of us in this conversation more than the other. But
for
sure,
I am the pale one. There's no doubt about it. I'm sorry for that little diversion, folks, from our topic, but what in the world is going on at Stanford? And someone texted in, hey, Leland Stanford was kind of a slave dude himself with the Chinese building. I guess we're going to have to ban Stanford. And they've appropriated a living being, the cardinal. It's a tree, folks. You can't appropriate another living organism. You have to call it something else. Jennifer, you're on 710 KNUS. Jennifer, what are your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, George.
Good morning.
So glad you and Bill are back.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to hear
Bill
your
never left.
Playful banter.
Bill was held hostage.
I know, but he didn't get to talk as much. The others let him talk as much.
That's a mistake.
Anyway, it is a mistake. But anyway... So that's my happy talk for the day. I want to address Casper Stockham being on the radio this morning and all the wonderful messaging he says that I'm sorry, I really question because I've looked at his Facebook post. You know, he made a mockery out of a gift he received at a GOP group Christmas party that makes a mockery of the attack on Paul Pelosi, and I don't care where you stand on that attack, whether you think it was fake, whether you think it was real, it's not messaging, and it's not something that appeals to people, that makes you trust them and want to vote for them. Additionally, he was at a this gathering outside GOP headquarters that was not about unity, was not about bringing people together. He should not have been there. Additionally, somebody who participated in one of his candidate, you know, schools was also there, somebody who ran for Congress. And I really, I'm tired of hearing the happy talk from him because the performance isn't there. So sorry for getting on a negative bent and maybe being hypercritical, but I think he has a lot of things to answer for.
Well, my guess is some folks out there listening are going to say, oh, well, Jennifer's a rhino. Jennifer's establishment. Jennifer's anything we can do. Or I'm sorry. Jennifer is a person experiencing rhinology or whatever it is. Yeah, rhinoism, something like that. Rhinoplasty. No, that's a nose job. Anyway, how do we get past this moment in time? Because this party right now is up against the ropes. And I don't care what happy talk people give. There's some real divisions here, and they're either going to be fixed or we're going to have people just stop participating altogether.
Well, I agree. It's unfortunate that Christy Burton Brown isn't running again, but I completely understand why. I completely support her decision. And here you go. Politicians typically, you know, can be ego-driven. She is not. She's looking for the area that she can most contribute, and she believes that's in policy. And, you know, she could have gone for another term and just for the namesake and the title, but she's not. And that's unfortunate because she handled a lot of things this year with grace and poise. So I'm a 50-year Reagan supporter. Reagan Republican is what I like to refer to myself. If you want to call me a rhino, that's fine. But Reagan handled things. He never backed down from a fight. He always supported great conservatism, great principles. But he did it in a way that was not polarizing, that won people. And what we have going on in the party, it's going to take us a decade to get over. There's no quick fix on this. So when you're asking me for solutions, I think we start by everybody deciding, you know, like the Democrats have done, let's set down the pitchforks and torches. I'm trying to search for words here.
That's okay.
And let's start talking about these issues and find out, let's pick three things we can all agree on. And then let's put aside the crazy, because I think that we lost this election because nobody trusts the Republican Party because we act like a bunch of fools. So,
well, we seem to have hit.
I don't know if I have the silver bullet.
We seem to have hit a ceiling in the state of 45%. We just can't seem to get past the 45%. Only one statewide candidate has done so since 2016. That's a problem long term, and I think some of those gaps are getting wider. I don't know. I appreciate some of the thoughts. I think Casper obviously has some work to do, but I want to see who else steps forward to say they want to take this on. This thing is a job that is not attractive. I mean, you just know that no matter what decision you make, you're going to alienate somebody. And we're not in the business of winning right now. We're in the business of purity. We're in the business of purging. And that is a company, that is an organization, that is a party that is set up for failure. That is not a way to victory. And for all those people that are out there, Jennifer, thanks so much, by the way, for the phone call. For all those people out there that think if we're just more conservative in our messaging, if we just have more Trump-supported candidates that are out there and Trump-supporting candidates, then Colorado's unaffiliated voters, if we just take away their ability to participate in the primary, I don't agree. I should have asked Casper that, too. Should we pull the primary away from non-registered Republicans? Should we just make it at the assembly? I mean, those are big, big issues. 303-696-1971. Jennifer, great call. That line is open. I want to tell you about our good friends at Twin Aspen Dental Center, Doctors Richter and Snyder. You heard them on the radio here a couple times now. They've been in the studio. They are fun, fantastic, and according to the Stanford discussion guide here, they are word appropriate guide. They're subject matter experts. I can't call them dental gurus. They are subject matter experts. They have a great plan here, especially in the holidays when people are starting to assess 2023 and what their funds look like moving forward. They have a reduced fee dental membership plan that allows families and individuals to receive their top shelf preventative care in addition to quality dental treatment at reduced prices. With it, you get two routine exams. That's what you need every year. All necessary x-rays, an emergency exam, which you hope you never need, and one fluoride application for the kids under age 18. You also receive 25% off all dental services. I've told you about how easy it is to work with these folks, setting up an appointment, going in. So comfortable. I felt no apprehension at all. I fell asleep twice in the chair. Go to TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, or make an appointment at 303-841-7466, 303-841-7466. Brian, you're on 710. What do you think, Brian?
Hey, George.
Hey.
Hey, you know, I'm for Casper, and you know what I didn't hear, I heard a lot from him that I didn't hear from KBB. You know, after the election was over, I heard from KBB, oh, the electorate is now blue, and there's nothing we can do, and the crazies hurt us, and Trump was a noose. And
did you
that's
hear
all
her
I heard.
Say that? Where did you hear
I
her
did
say
hear
that?
The day after the election, or was it, I think a couple of days, I heard you had Priscilla Ron and her on, and they did say, I think we have to face the fact that Colorado Electric has changed and we're going to be a minority party for a while. She has said those exact words. So that's not someone who's fighting, and that's not somebody who I want to lead, saying we're going to have to accept being a minority party for a while. I think that might be the reality, but that's not something you say. I didn't hear her have any solutions like Casper does, like reaching out to the youth, which they didn't, which they lost in the ground game. They lost in the messaging game. I didn't hear her say she had solutions for any of that. So, you know, your previous caller talked about results. We didn't get any from KPB. So,
well,
I'm sorry.
That's too strong.
I was on
I disagree
side,
with you.
George.
I disagree with you that she didn't produce any results. We talked about those Senate races where whatever path we were on wasn't enough to get in the end zone, but we did get into the red zone in the races in which we targeted, which were the state Senate races. The other races, the statewide ones, that's a problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to run a candidate for Senate in this state that's pro-abortion, you're probably going to lose. I mean, that's like a no-brainer.
Do you think a pro-life candidate would have won?
He would have had a better shot.
Why?
I just think if you think that's a winning candidate in Colorado, GOP, then you don't know Colorado GOP. So that's the problem right there. If you think that was a smart move, it proved to be a disaster. So let's move on from that. Like, Casper's talking about solutions. He's talking about doing things that she didn't do. So why can't we embrace that? As far as the party, those crazies that are yelling stuff, those don't reflect me, George. They don't reflect most of the GOP. That's a small fraction. Both sides have crazies on there that are going to yell and scream names. Shoot, I've been called worse than what was over there, too. Being a Hispanic American, growing up in white suburbia, I've been called worse. But am I shying away from my life or anything else, any other challenges? I'm not.
Brian, two quick things here I want to get from you. If you're voting for the next chair of the state GOP, two questions. Do they have to be someone that accepts, embraces, acknowledges that the 2020 or 2022 elections were stolen? And two, do they also have to be in favor of closing the primaries and going to an all-assembly kind of nomination process?
On the first one, no. They don't have to be an election denier to me. I think Casper's answer was spot on. Yeah, we want to have faith in the system, and we don't. We don't have transparency. We don't have faith in the system. So he wants to bring – we're being called crazy because we don't trust our government? Like, come on. So many nefarious things happened in that 2020 election. I don't trust the results. Am I saying things are stolen? No, I just don't trust it. And then when you go say that, you have the GOP saying, oh, here we have an election denier. Oh, here we have this. Don't alienate people like me. And that's what they did. And that's why we lost big. I think we had lost anyway, but we lost big because they did what they did. If anything, we went backwards. I'm just trying to look for someone to move forward with because it's going to take increments of forwardness to get back to where we need to be. We went backwards this election. So, you know, and everyone's got a lot to blame, but I didn't hear any solutions from the gals, you know, and I supported Priscilla Ron and Catherine. I really did.
Christy.
I'm sorry. I called, all the time,
yep,
when they were on with
you did.
Peter Boyles, you did. And Peter Boyles, all the way back to when Peter,
yeah,
Boyles was having them on.
Yep.
I was like, you guys have a great message.
Brian, let me cut you off here, not because I don't want to have the conversation with you, but because time is short for us. Merry Christmas, man. I know we're going to continue to talk to you. Thank you for always being a thoughtful listener, even when we disagree. I appreciate that. Hey, before I cut away for our last break, before we get into that last segment of the show, got to tell you about Littleton Jewelry. It's not too late, folks. I know you're looking at the calendar the way I am, and you're trying to figure out, what am I going to get that person I love? I've only got a few days left. Whatever custom jewelry can't be done in 2 or 3 days, and I'm not convinced they couldn't do it. That's why you got to give them a call or go out there and see them. Just south of Hudson Gardens on the west side of Santa Fe, you turn right by the jewelry repair sign. But I'm telling you, they have so many other options there. They buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, jewelry, precious stones, coins, name something. They also clean up and fix jewelry. They fix watches. They fix mine. You can still be part of that magical Santa experience of giving someone you love something that they're going to remember forever. That's just different than anything else you're going to get on Amazon or one of the mall stores or something like that. Go out there and say hi to Jesse and his team of elves, man. They're local. I don't even, people who are experiencing elfdom. I don't know what it is out there at Littleton Jewelry. Check them out. Go to littletonfinejewelry.com. That's littletonfinejewelry.com. When we come back, we'll get to as many calls as we can and text. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Oh, that's the good stuff right there on 710 KNUS. We're going to try to figure out a way to, whether it's this Christmas or next, to get Billy to figure out how to take his awesome collection of Christmas bumper music and fit it into the non-CD universe in which we find ourselves at the moment. Listen, I also had to take care of something else. It may be that I forgot to wish someone named Jennifer, a caller, a Merry Christmas, which I've done for all the other callers. That was brought to my attention. I apologize for that. Merry Christmas. So that's if you're a practitioner of it. If not, then I don't, screw you. No, I'm kidding. Happy Hanukkah, happy holidays and all that. One last quick, big, big shout out to folks that can help still at this moment make your house awesome moving forward. That is our friends at Urban Lights. They are Denver's largest lighting showroom. I'm not kidding. 20,000 square feet. It's like Christmas in there. The lights everywhere with the things you can do with your home to prettify it, especially moving into the new year. Dave and his folks out there are just the bomb when it comes to this. And they're willing to take the extra step, not just in the customer service department, not in just the, hey, you can come touch it, see it, compare it to us in different sizes and colors. And by the way, they do more than lighting. They do the fans. They do the decor. They do furniture, the whole thing. They're willing to go right now, 40% off, 40% off. That's 2 out of 5, folks, out of MSRP for their holiday sale. You can do the Mountain Modern, Vintage Rustic, New Traditional, fill in the blank. If there's a trend out there, these folks have already crushed this thing. Go check them out. South Santa Fe Drive, just south of I-25 between Mississippi and Florida. You can also check them out online, UrbanLightsDenver.com. That's UrbanLightsDenver.com. Hey, my thanks to everybody that called in today. The texts, we've had a billion of them. Keep working on your language thing. I'll see if I can post that Stanford nonsense that's on there. Thanks to Sherry Pye from Complete Colorado. Check out her columns on page 2. My thanks to Casper Stockham, Christy Burton Brown. And tomorrow will be our Christmas Eve show. Maybe clothing optional. Check out the YouTube channel and subscribe. George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.